Do please be seated. I'm so grateful to you, Father, for your invitation to be here today. In the early 1970s, I spent 2 years as organist of Pusey House, and I've not been back since. So what a treat to be here with you today. I was here when Chesley Jones was principal, a man who loved the liturgy, but a man of some idiosyncrasies. Some of them were planned, like insisting that we should sing the church's One Foundation to the tune of the Lincolnshire Poacher. Others, such as saying in the Eucharistic prayer, "He took the cup and broke it," were not quite so carefully planned. Other stories may be afterwards. Jesus said, "Ye also shall bear witness, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit."
Amen.
At the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles, Luke writes that the risen Jesus appeared for 40 days before he was taken into heaven. The apostles were not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the fulfillment of the Father's promise, the coming of the Spirit at Pentecost, the 50th day. So, although we don't use Luke's words in today's readings, his account shapes the church's calendar, which gives us these 10 days after ascension. The apostles were to wait. Despite the proverbial English enthusiasm for queuing, in general, we don't like waiting. Mrs. Alexander, the hymn writer, was what has been described as an uneven poet. I've never thought that the last lines of "Once in Royal David City" make heaven sound attractive, when like stars his children crowned, all in white shall wait around. Maybe the post was about to go and she was up against a deadline. But the waiting of which Jesus speaks is essential and purposeful. Wait for the promise. It's waiting in order to receive. It is also waiting on the threshold. In Latin, limen, hence it is a time of liminality. Between the time of Jesus' earthly ministry, which is now complete, and the time when the apostles will be equipped to go and fulfill their calling and mission in the power of the Spirit. Now, our celebration this morning is in a way bilingual, because whilst the calendar follows the schedule of Luke's account, today's gospel is from John, who addresses the same transition but in a different tone. Our reading is part of the address that Jesus is giving to the disciples in John's gospel before he goes to his arrest, trial, and death. You have been hearing from it in the gospel readings over these last weeks. It's sometimes called the farewell discourse. That's a description about which I have misgivings, because it could suggest that its mood is sad and it's setting the scene for a bereavement. To think of it like that, I'm suggesting, is a mistake. Here is Jesus unfolding a manifesto for mission. Yes, it will be difficult and costly. Today's passage warns of exclusion, persecution, and martyrdom. There are Christians today who hear those words with more immediacy than us in England, and we must never forget them. But the disciples will not be alone when they carry out their work, for they will have the Comforter, the Spirit who strengthens them, the Advocate. For these moments in which he speaks to them, Jesus is, as it were, holding the disciples in a place apart from the world. They are no longer accompanying him on his travelling ministry, but they have not yet received the Spirit or been sent into the dangerous world, the world in which Jesus is about to be crucified. They are between their former and future states, receiving instruction and a commission. Here is John's picture of the disciples in liminality. Yes, they are going through a transition, but that itself is the means of a deeper continuity, continuity of God's purposes and of Jesus' work. They will pick up the mantle and the Spirit will rest on them. This Sunday in the calendar and in the Gospels, Jesus' words that the disciples must wait when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, all this reminds us of the need to be ready to receive what God alone through Christ can give us. Faith is not our project. Jesus' close followers go by the name of disciples, that is students, but then apostles, those who are sent. They learn, they are commissioned, and they are also formed. Formation, the shaping of lives, is a vital part of being Christian. And irrespective of whatever strand of the Christian traditions we might be part of, there's a question to which the answer should be pretty much the same for all followers of Jesus of Nazareth. How do I want my life to be shaped around the character and love of Christ? That can only happen if we give time and space and attention. Yes, we will fail, we will make mistakes. There are times when we will walk apart from God. We need his forgiveness and grace. We are never the finished article, even unto death, but God will never let us go. So, three things. First, the time of prayer is itself a little moment in the threshold. Of course, the global church has a wonderful treasure store of prayers, and we can be lifted in our devotion by art or music or nature or architecture. Different things will do it for us because we are different people. But let's never lose sight of the importance of attentive prayer that doesn't need words. It's a matter of consciously being in the presence of God. So let this Sunday of purposeful waiting be a day for asking ourselves whether our prayer has got too busy, to check that we are allowing space in our prayer to wait and receive, room for God to take us and shape us. Second, for some of you, Oxford will be a stage in your life from which you move on. Time at university is a time of formation as well as learning. Though looking back at my own years here, I'm aware of how little I realised or could have articulated that then. How I remember coming to Oxford, just 18, naive and inexperienced, getting off the train, walking to my college, carrying a suitcase, with so little idea of what the next 3 years would offer. The institution of a university exists partly to hold students through an extended liminal time in order to equip them for their future role in society. Traditionally, this has been seen not only as a good, but also a godly thing to do. It's enshrined in historic statutes and college prayers. But more particularly, it was part of the purpose of the foundation of Pusey House to insist that principle endures. The Oxbridge Collegiate Constitution helps people to get out of a closed faculty bubble, to be appreciative of and excited by what others study and research. It resists the idea that the value of a university, a discipline, or a course should be measured by the earning power of its graduates. I'm very conscious of where we are in the cycle of the academic year, of all the anxieties that come with the exam season, even without the complexities and uncertainties of online assessment. And my prayers are with those of you for whom that is a particular concern just now. Pusey House exists alongside the university to encourage the continuing exploration of how faith is rational, how it can be attractive and possible, how it has a distinctive voice in a political and intellectual context that even its Victorian founders could see was beginning rapid change. So please, if and when you are leaving Oxford, recognise how the practice of faith in this setting has shaped you as an ambassador for the best of all that. And third, here we are in this wonderful place at a superb celebratory mass. There are things to delight: Temple Moore's architectural masterpiece, the rhythms of language, movement, the inventiveness of Morales' music growing out of the simplest of themes, a scale of six notes. But we are not here just to be the consumers of an aesthetic experience. Worship is liminality, not escape. We will receive the incomparable gift of Christ's sacramental presence, and then, in the exuberant, cascading sentences of the prayer after communion, we'll ask that as members of Christ's body and heirs through hope of God's kingdom, we may fulfill our commission to continue in holy fellowship and do what God has prepared for us to do. It's a classic Anglican principle that liturgy forms disciples, so that we leave the time and place of worship changed and shaped in a way that says yes to love and hope in Jesus Christ, to be his apostles in whatever way is given to each of us. That's why it's good to be here, and why it's a privilege for me to join you today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.